16th podcast in my series dealing with common questions and controversies of Christianity. Today's topic is one that's really relevant to all of us, and I'm sure we can relate to this topic. It's a topic of suffering. Why do Christians suffer? Suffering and pain and distress are some of the most persistent and perplexing of all human problems. Even those who experience minor suffering are constantly confronted with the suffering of others, even within their own families and sometimes among their acquaintances. And as we all know, suffering takes many forms, such as physical pain and frustrated hope, depression and loneliness and grief, and then there's all different kinds of anxiety. So the truth is, whether we're Christians or not, we all suffer. In Luke chapter 13, we have two interesting scenarios. The first one was an atrocious act by Pontius Pilate when he went into a Christian service where they were worshiping and he slaughtered them in the temple. The second scene occurred when a tower of Siloam fell on 18 people and killed them. And the disciples asked an interesting question to the Lord, one that we all ask. And they asked if those who were killed were greater sinners than those who lived. And our Lord's answer was no, that was not the case. They didn't die because they were more sinful than others. And we know, of course, the story of Job. Remember that he suffered these horrible diseases where he had to scrape sores off his body. He lost all his wealth and he lost all his children. There were seven of them. Scripture tells us that Job was considered the most righteous man alive and he had done nothing to deserve all his suffering. And yet he suffered. And we know later the cause was because God was testing the authenticity of his worship. Now, in all these instances of suffering, none of them deserve to suffer. And the point is, suffering strikes everyone, whether believers or unbelievers. At some point in life, we will all suffer. So the question then is, how are we to see suffering? And I think the answer is that we need to understand it, like everything else in life. Understanding of something, of a topic that's difficult, is key to help us to deal with it. Well, the first principle that we need to know about the purpose of suffering is that it's a result of Adam and Eve's choice to disobey God in the garden. The first three chapters of Genesis state that the world was intended really to be a place of perfect bliss. At the end of the creation account in Genesis 1:31, God saw that all that he had made was very good. The human race was created perfect by God and lived in a perfect environment. So initially, suffering was impossible because God provided everything in perfection, everything that was necessary for life and happiness. But at the same time, God's justice provided for human will to express itself. Man was allowed to choose between obedience and disobedience. They could either accept God's gracious provisions, or they could become their own God and make their own choices. God warned Adam and Eve in Genesis 2:17 when he said, "But from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat, for in the day that you eat from it, you will surely die." Genesis 3:6 tells us that both Adam and Eve chose to obey and eat the fruit of the forbidden tree. So they rejected God's authority, they rejected his word and his provisions. And at that very moment, they became sinful. Romans 3:23 tells us that all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. And as a result, Romans 3:10 states that there is none righteous, not even one. Because God is just, he was compelled by his own perfect character to set suffering in motion as a penalty for rejecting his command. And at that point, all of creation was affected. So the world became an environment of thorns and thistles. That was the moment that sin entered the human race. And as a result, all in Adam die. So we now all exist in the sin-cursed world of suffering. The entire human race suffers spiritual death. That means that we're separated from God at birth. Romans 5:12 explains that just as through one man sin entered the world, death through sin, and so death spread to all men because all sinned. Sadly, because of the curse then, suffering is here to stay. And that won't change until the Lord returns to make things right. At this point, we can't avoid it as hard as we try. All descendants of Adam, that includes everyone, are born into a sin-cursed world where all mankind is vulnerable to the possibility of suffering. So what does this tell us exactly then? It shows us that much suffering that we experience is due to the fact that all creation is corrupt because of sin. Romans 8:22 is very clear, for we know that the whole creation groans and suffers the pains of childbirth. Now, there are two major classifications of suffering. There is undeserved suffering, and there is deserved suffering. Both believers and unbelievers are subject to undeserved suffering. We're all affected by it because the entire world has been tainted by sin. Undeserved suffering comes our way by natural disasters such as tornadoes and earthquakes and floods. As we already noted as an example back in Luke, the falling tower of Siloam, there was no personal sin. They weren't personally responsible, so it was a natural tragedy. These were innocent people who died just simply as a result of natural disaster. All disease and sickness and accidents fall under this category, where sin isn't the cause personally. As we have also noted from Luke chapter 13, sometimes we suffer because of the evil wickedness of others. And of course, that was an example that Pilate went in and murdered the Galatian worshipers. They were innocent victims, and they died as a result of his evil, and so they weren't personally responsible for their own suffering. All this tells us, then, that everyone alive will suffer simply because we live in a world that's cursed by sin. The second classification of suffering is what we call deserved suffering or self-induced suffering. Every one of us brings this category of suffering as a result of our inherent sin. So deserved suffering then arises from the justice of God because of sins such as lust and pride and selfishness and greed, and of course, poor decisions that contradict God's will. Believers such as the Apostle Paul experienced such self-induced suffering because of his own pride. And as a result, he was chastised by God. And this is what he wrote in 2 Corinthians 12:7. Because of the surpassing greatness of the revelations, for this reason, to keep me from exalting myself, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, a messenger of Satan to torment me, to keep me from exalting myself. So we see in this instance that God uses suffering as a way of keeping us from falling into pride. So in these cases, then, suffering is a preventive medicine. We learn from Jonah chapter 2, verse 8, that those who cling to worthless idols forfeit the grace that could be theirs. So both believers and unbelievers suffer under both categories of this type of trauma and suffering in life. Suffering also comes from another source. It comes from the cosmic evil forces that are hostile to God and hostile to his children. We call it satanically permitted suffering. Sometimes God permits, and especially in the life of those who are spiritually mature, to be tested in life by permitting excessive satanic pressure. Again, we think of Job. It may shock us to know that it was God's idea to give Satan permission to attack Job. Under God's supervision, Satan was allowed by God to do what he desired to do to Job, except for one thing. He couldn't take Job's life. So there we see that even though God permits Satan to attack believers, that he's given boundaries, and he can only go so far as God would allow him to go. Satan's accusation was that Job would reject God under abnormal suffering. In other words, Job was following God simply because God was blessing him. In Job 1, 8 through 10, we read that the Lord said to Satan, "Have you considered my servant Job? For there is no one like him on the earth, a blameless and upright man, fearing God and turning away from evil." Then Satan answered the Lord and said, "Does Job fear God for nothing? Have you not made a hedge about him and his house and all that he has on every side? You have blessed the work of his hands and his possessions and have increased in the land." Satan's accusation was that Job only served God because of his personal blessings. Although neither Satan nor his demons can indwell believers, they can certainly harass them. Unbelievers can be dwelt as a tool for suffering to produce physical illness and those kind of things. We see this in Matthew 12:22. "Then a demon possessed a man who was blind and mute and was brought out to Jesus, and he healed him so that the mute man spoke and saw." In the New Testament, suffering is often ascribed to the presence of demons. We find this in Luke 9:38 through 39. "And a man from the crowd shouted, saying, 'Teacher, I beg you to look at my son, for he is my only son.' And a spirit seizes him, and he suddenly screams, and it throws him into a convulsion with foaming at the mouth. And all of that difficulty, it just leaves him, mauling him as it leaves. In Acts 19, suffering is due to what is called evil spirits, which are basically demons. And it reads that God was performing extraordinary miracles at the hands of Paul, so that handkerchiefs or aprons were even carried from his body to the sick, and the diseases left them, and the spirits went out of them. We can also see from Luke 13, verse 16, that Satan can be the cause directly of somebody's suffering. In this particular case, a daughter of Abraham had been bound for 18 long years, and it was Satan who bound them. So what we've learned is that suffering can be undeserved because of the fall of Adam and Eve. And we also have learned that some can be deserved because of personal sin and rebellion. And some suffering comes to us from Satan and his demons. There's also one more category that we really need to be aware of, and that's divinely directed suffering that's used by God to bring blessing to the believers and to bring good into their life. This category creates within believers a motivation then to depend on God. That's his purpose for allowing this. This explains why Christians suffer in unique ways and for unique purposes. Listen to how Peter encouraged believers in 1 Peter chapter 4, verses 12 through 19. Peter wrote, "Beloved, do not be surprised at the fiery ordeal among you, which comes upon you for your testing, as though some strange thing were happening to you. But to the degree that you share the sufferings of Christ, keep on rejoicing, so that also at the revelation of his glory, you may rejoice with exultation. If you are reviled for the name of Christ, you are blessed, because of the Spirit of glory and of God rest upon you. By no means let any of you suffer as a murderer or a thief or an evildoer or a troublesome meddler. But if anyone suffers as a Christian, let him not feel ashamed, but in that name let him glorify God. For there is a time for judgment to begin with the household of God. And if it begins with us first, what will be the outcome of those who do not obey the gospel of God? And if it is with this difficulty that the righteousness is saved, what will become of the godless man and the sinner? Therefore, let those also who suffer according to the will of God entrust their souls to the faithful Creator in doing what is right." So God-directed suffering comes then in the form of fiery trials, and the purpose of that is to test our faith. And ultimately, if we respond well, it will bring glory to the Lord Jesus Christ. So as Christians then, we're to rejoice in this type of suffering for Christ. Although suffering isn't a desirable experience, it will lead to some greater good. Listen to Romans 8, 28 through 30. This is one of my favorite verses. "For we know that God causes all things to work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose. For those whom he foreknew, he also predestined to become conformed to the image of his Son, so that he would be the firstborn among many brethren. And these whom he predestined, he also called. And these whom he called, he also justified. And these whom he justified, he also glorified." According to this promise, then, believers can find real meaning in suffering. It turns the sufferer toward the future and the promise that God will work everything together for good, even the things that aren't so good, but God uses them in combination with his providence to bring good to those who trust in him. Listen to James chapter 1, verses 2 through 4. "Consider it all joy, my brethren, when you encounter various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces endurance. And let endurance have its perfect result, so that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing." Romans chapter 5, verses 1 through 5 have a similar promise. Paul wrote, "Having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom also we have obtained our introduction by faith into this grace in which we stand, and we exult in hope of the glory of God. And not only this, but we also exult in our tribulations, knowing that tribulation brings about perseverance, and perseverance proven character, and proven character hope or confidence. And that hope does not disappoint us, because the love of God has been poured out within our hearts through the Holy Spirit who've been given to us." These are very comforting words to Christians who suffer. You know, sometimes suffering may be a benefit to other people as well. We may suffer, but it might also benefit others. Joseph suffered greatly at the hands of his brothers, who, of course, we know sold him into slavery. However, at the end of his life, Joseph looked back and saw that many people had been benefited because of his suffering. By God's providence, he was in the right place to prepare for the famine. He wouldn't have been if his brothers hadn't done evil toward him. And so they were indeed guilty of a hostile act toward him, but God used their wickedness and Joseph's suffering to bring about greater good. This was Joseph's conclusion in Genesis 50, verse 20. And again, this is one of my favorite verses. "As for you, you meant evil against me," speaking, of course, to his brothers, "but God meant it for good in order to bring about this present result, to preserve many people alive." Christ is the answer to suffering. And the scriptures give us very important insights into why we are allowed to suffer. For the believer who trusts in Christ as a personal savior, he can claim the following blessings. We know that suffering is only temporary. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 17 through 18. "For momentary light affliction is producing in us an eternal weight of glory far beyond all comparison, while we look not at the things which are seen, but the things which are unseen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are unseen are eternal." 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 5 through 6. And I love this verse as well. "Believers are protected by the power of God through faith for a salvation ready to be revealed in the last time. In this you greatly rejoice, even though now for a little while, if necessary, you have been distressed by various trials." What an incredible promise. Friends, suffering will come our way, but God has his purposes, and we need to trust those purposes when difficult times come. Well, that concludes our podcast, and I really hope that we were able to bring some clarity on the topic of suffering, something that we all wrestle with. In my next podcast, we're going to be looking at whether or not Christians can be demon-possessed. Can a believer actually have a demon come into their life and dwell within their soul? Well, thanks for listening, and we'll see you next time. Until then, may you learn Christ, love Christ, and live for the glory of Christ.
We trust that you have been blessed by listening to this week's episode of Touchpoints, a weekly podcast produced by East Point Bible Church in Peru, Indiana. To learn more about East Point, we would love to connect with you by reaching out via our website at ebcperu.org. That's ebcperu.org.